Hello.
Oh man, look at you.
Hang on
You've
one second. Let me fix the audio.
got You've got podcasting equipment like it's nobody's business.
It's because I'm a prof.
You cut out.
Hear me?
Can hear you now.
Okay, good. I don't know if you heard what I said. I said, because I'm a professional.
You said because I'm a pro, and I assumed you were saying professional. But
Already started recording.
oh, good, that's the way to do it.
Hello.
Welcome to the Dozer and Viscount show.
The show that reliably for the last 8 years has released a new episode every Monday.
Has it really been 8 years? It feels like it was yesterday.
Yeah, but like clockwork, we're on what's 52 times 8? Like
I don't know. Aren't you the math teacher?
four over 400 episodes. What's new?
I'm trying to think of the last time we talked.
Besides last week.
Well, besides last week, the last time we, caught up. Not much is new. I'll DJ your wedding.
Well, so I actually already got married. I don't know if you remember
Oh,
that. You
right.
were there, but it was a pretty busy year. There were a lot of weddings going
Well, it's just one of those things that slips your mind.
on. So you DJ weddings now?
Not professionally.
Because I support that career path. I think that's a great move.
Oh, I mean,
People are always getting married.
people are always getting married. People love music. I love music. I love sharing the music I love with people.
And people love you.
Well, maybe I should DJ my own wedding. Wait, I got married too.
Yeah. I
Okay.
mean, I don't know what's happened. Maybe you could do it again.
So, since we last spoke, I've got some DJ software on my iPad that I have invested in just to play around with. It's so much fun.
So, walk me through DJing a wedding.
Oh.
So, when you say DJing the wedding, you're really talking about the reception, not the wedding itself, right?
That is entirely up to the client.
Because I could go for a wedding that has like a good soundtrack start to finish, like from the moment the guests start arriving.
I don't see why more people don't do that. People love music. People love love.
They do.
What's better than music of love at a wedding?
So,
Constant.
as a professional wedding DJer, oh, you're walking away.
Nope, I'm still here.
You're still here. Is everything okay? So, for those of you listening at home, he's wandered away. He sneakily looked into one room and decided that wasn't where he wanted to go, and then went into a different room. And now he's back. And he has a
With
bottle of water.
water.
So, all right. So, I have to think you've got multiple hours of material when you're DJing a wedding, right? Multiple hours of songs.
Yeah.
And it's not just play all the best songs because there has to be a rhythm to it. There has to be like early on, you need to get people who are entering interested, but you don't want to use up all your best material when it's a half empty room. So talk to me about your creative process.
Well, I would say it also depends on the wedding venue and the level of involvement of the wedding party, right? Because if you have if they, I don't know, say requested a bunch of songs prior to the wedding, that already limits, you know, creativity, if you will. And on top of that, if it's, you know, if there's a lot of wedding party songs, like, you know, different groups will do mother, son, father, daughter, old, young,
right,
themed dances. And then there's also probably at least somebody's going to request the electric slide. So
are there any requests that would be absolutely a deal breaker for you? Like, I can't go forward with this wedding. Like, if they say, I want all, like, noise music.
Oh, if it was all one type of music, that would probably kill.
I just want Yesterday by the Beatles over and over and over and over again.
I don't think I could DJ a wedding that I could. I don't think I would enjoy myself if it was all one type of music. I don't think people would enjoy themselves if it was all one type of music.
I think that's fair.
Now, that didn't really answer your initial question, but I'd say it's very context dependent.
This has been Profiles in Human Nature with Viscount.
It's my second favorite segment.
I guess you got your bottle of water, so it's sort of cooking with Viscount, too. Oh,
it is, and did I cook this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Made some roasted chicken and veggies. Made a kale pasta salad. And I ate some pine nuts.
That's a solid breakfast.
Oh, it's only the pine nuts.
Oh, okay.
I didn't eat any of the other stuff. That's for later in the week.
Okay. I was going to be really impressed if that's how you start your Sunday morning. You know, like when I was growing up, we'd always have a sort of a big Sunday morning breakfast.
Monday morning.
That's a good point, because it is Monday.
We're live 24/7 on Monday.
And it's always Monday somewhere.
Right. That's fair. It actually might be Monday somewhere. Oh, well, peeling back the veil. Anyways, continue.
I don't really remember where I was going.
Something about food.
Yeah, I'm pro food. I'm going to make a pie later.
What kind of pie?
We were going to do cherry, but I couldn't find good cherries at the grocery store. So instead we're going to do blueberry. And I feel like blueberry is a decent alternative.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like pie is hard to... Not hard to screw up, because I would imagine it's probably easy to screw up. Pie is hard to classify as being bad if you're choosing between blueberries and cherries. Anyways, let's take the last 15 seconds out of the podcast.
Yeah, no, all of this is going to be very deeply edited.
Good.
No, but yeah, pie. We haven't made, this is our first time doing a pie totally from scratch. So we haven't done, like, we've done little tarts with, like, our own crust, but this is the first time we've done an actual, like, full-size pie with our own crust.
All I gotta say is I wish I lived in Boston.
Yeah? I wish you did, too. But not too close to me in Boston, because then I wouldn't get anything done.
Gotta get a healthy distance.
Yeah. Like, you could live in, like, Cambridge. That'd be fine.
Is that close to... That's where Harvard is, right?
Yeah. It's like on the other side of the Charles River from where we are.
Is that where... What's it called? MGH, the hospital?
I'm not sure where MGH is.
Because that's where one of my bosses, or I guess not boss, but the one of the doctors I work for is from originally.
Yeah. So it turns out Boston has about 5 billion hospitals.
Really?
And most of them seem to be clustered in like this one neighborhood not too far from where I am, which is great, because when I had to go see a doctor, I walked there and that was easy. But
just don't break a leg.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
unless you can like walk on your hands or something.
Or, you know, I just have to sort of drag myself like four blocks and then I'm good.
Yeah. Maybe at some point within those four blocks, a car would stop or a person would help you.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know if you've noticed this you can't have noticed because you're not in Boston, but I don't know if you've heard this about Boston, but the drivers have a reputation for not being very patient. So I feel like I wouldn't really be able to rely on a car stopping and being like, that man seems like he needs help.
I can see the bone sticking out of his leg. But you know what? I need to get to the grocery store.
Yeah. Also, grocery stores here. Like, so Chicago, I imagine, has
grocery stores.
Has grocery stores.
Yes.
This is my first like big city that I've lived in properly, because like Evanston doesn't really count. And, well,
then don't tell anybody that I actually live in Evanston.
But you did live in Chicago.
Yeah.
And Raleigh is sort of medium sized city. And it just seems like no matter when I go to the grocery store, either of the grocery stores that are within easy walking distance from me, no matter when I go, it is always busy. It is always just nonstop people buying things. And that's great. I mean, people need food, but like,
you gotta buy things.
But like in Raleigh, like there were quiet moments.
You could go to the grocery store in your pajamas.
I never did, but yeah, I could.
I mean, I suppose you could go to the grocery store in your pajamas in Boston.
Yeah, but I would, you know, probably people would look at me.
Do people not look at you when you go to the grocery store now?
Yeah, they avoid eye contact.
That's fair. What else is new in your life?
What else is new in my life?
How's the professional podcast career?
Well, the last time, so for listeners who don't know, I am also the host of the WP Campus podcast, a podcast for those using WordPress in higher education, which is literally the most popular WordPress in higher education podcast, I think. I assume, because I don't think there are any others. But I don't
know of any.
Yeah. But we haven't put out a new episode since November. So
your real professional podcasting career is this show.
Yes, it is. This is where all the action is.
I mean, let's be real. This is where all the action is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about this shirt and the heresy that it contains.
Well, I don't know about the second thing you said, but the shirt itself is glorious. It has three ducks, very obviously all ducks. One is yellow. A second one is yellow. And the third
looks like a misformed goose to me.
Well, one might say that it's exactly the same as the other ones.
A goose who has been through something tragic and traumatic.
Representative of one of the childhood games, Duck Duck Grey Duck.
It's just Minnesota propaganda. You got your hat. That's more Minnesota propaganda.
You'd be surprised at how many people comment about my hat.
Oh, yeah?
Being like, oh, I know Gustavus. On the flip side, probably just as many are like, where's Gustavus? Or not that, like, you know, knowing how to be fair, how the Minnesotans pronounce it.
Mm-hmm.
I should clarify. It's not everyone's end game.
Are you sure that the people who are saying, "I know Gustavus," aren't just people who know a guy named Gus Tavis? Maybe there's somebody in the area who's a very prominent person named Gus, and his last name is Tavis.
And he puts on a hat?
Yeah.
Or puts his name on a hat, which he then also puts on his head.
Yeah.
How do you know my name's not Gus Tavis?
I feel like that would have come up at some point in the however many years we've known each other.
I don't know, man. We got to keep secrets from each other somehow.
I think mainly the way we keep secrets from each other is not talking to each other for months at a time.
And it works.
Do you have a top five list?
I can.
All right. We can keep talking while you do your homework.
I was going to say I'm going
skiing
next week.
Where are you going skiing?
It's going to be awesome. Going to Steamboat Springs, Colorado.
Oh wow, so real mountains.
I know. I've never been skiing out west.
Probably neither have I.
Skiing on an elevation higher than
yeah,
where I am now, I'm in a second floor apartment.
It's a big wide world of mountains out there.
Yes. Yes, there are. Do you have a top five list is what I will throw back at you.
I do. I made one probably about 5 minutes before we started talking.
All right.
Because I am dedicated to the theme of this podcast that we decided on at some point not all that long ago.
All right, I've got...
Love the silence. The trademark Dozer and Viscount Show silence.
The trademark silence. It doesn't get better when you get older. In fact, it gets worse. I do have a top five list that I have just thought of.
Okay.
And I could potentially be ready with it whenever you need me to be.
All right. Well, whenever you're ready, just let me know. What else is new with you?
Not much. I've been doing a lot of listening to music, which hence my DJ enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm. You have a favorite song?
Right now, I do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I never have, like, one favorite, right?
Sure, yeah.
But my current favorite song, which is the first one, and then I just thought of another one. All right, my current favorite song that's probably more likely than not going to be played whenever I open my Spotify account first is a song called Blue Hundreds by Holy Mattress Money.
I don't think I know that song.
I don't think a lot of
people do. Lovely.
And more people need to.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a sweet little groove and...
Holy Mattress Money?
Holy Mattress Money.
All right, I'm down for that. I'll listen to that when this is over.
Good. It's the only problem is that it's never over.
That's a good point.
All right, why don't you do your top five first? Is that something we still want to do?
Yeah.
Top fives. Welcome to the Dozer and Viscount Show, where we always know what's going on.
Always. All right, you ready?
I am ready.
So I'll set up my top five. I went to the grocery store this morning,
Ooh, is yours also food? Because mine's food.
What happens if we have the same top five theme?
We just get to double down.
All right. So my top five list, I was going to do top five breakfast cereals,
Oh, man.
but I feel like that's a little too wide open because there are a lot of cereals out there that I like, but I never eat anymore because now I'm pretending to be a grown up and I can't really justify eating, I don't know, Lucky Charms with the marshmallows or, I don't know, anything with chocolate in it. I just can't justify that. And so my top five list.
I'm just letting you know right now, I don't have that problem.
So my top five list are the top five grown-up breakfast cereals. And I shouldn't m mention, these are not necessarily cereals that don't have sugar in them. They all have some sugar in them. These are cereals that grown-ups eat and tell themselves, I'm being healthy eating these.
Yeah.
And so.
All right. Well, right off the bat, I'm going to take a swing at Raisin Bran.
Number one on the list.
Okay.
Which,
That's also one of my go-tos.
did you know Raisin Bran actually has a lot of sugar in it?
Yeah.
They are deceptive, and I love it. It is delicious.
My second guess is Honey Bunches of Oats.
Also on the list.
Oh, man.
Also, number two on the list in order of I put them on the list. You
I
are
mean, these are
batting perfectly so far.
good cereals though, right?
Yep.
I'm gonna go with Honey Nut Cheerios.
I'll allow it. I have just regular Cheerios, but I'll take that as a
I wasn't
variation.
sure if you were gonna go Cheerios.
Usually on honestly, I usually go with like multi-grain Cheerios, which
Okay.
have the honey nut in them,
Have
but
you ever had, what was it? There was like a really good flavor of Cheerios that I had recently. I want to say it was maybe banana nut or something.
I've not had either banana nut or something Cheerios.
Was quite good. Quite good. I'm going to go next with Quaker oatmeal squares.
That is not on the list. I don't know if I've
Okay.
ever had this.
Though I would highly recommend checking those out. Quite tasty. Also, probably more sugar than,
Yeah.
you would expect. What am I at? Is that three or
That's
four?
four. One more.
Four?
You've gotten three out of five. Best
Okay.
you can do is four out of five.
Well, I'll aim for grape nuts.
Yeah, I'm not really a grape nuts person.
Well, neither I would assume are most people, but as far as
It is a grown-up cereal.
overarching grown-up cereals go,
Yeah.
that was my guess.
So the only two that you missed are Life, which I feel like is sort of borderline between sugary enough for small children, but looks like something that might be healthy. And the classic weight loss cereal, Special K.
Ooh, I almost guessed Special K. Special K
And
is just
I.
is a great one.
Yeah, I mean, I sincerely enjoy Special K. It's so crunchy. I love
Yeah, it really
it.
is.
I feel like when I get Special K, I eat enough of it at a time that any weight loss benefits it has are really wiped out. So, this has been Breakfast Cereals. You've got your top five list?
Well, here's the thing. Looking at this, I kind of want to audible, and if we can stall just a little longer, I
Right,
could
I'm just
come
gonna
up
start describing what I see in the background.
with my top five,
Got a
which is
crock pot in the background.
also cereal related. So I'll tell you, I'm just going to go with top five, sugary cereals. And
That's hard because there are a lot of
well, I'll do my top five.
I feel like there are a lot of newer sugary cereals that they didn't have when I was a kid and ate sugary cereals.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not going with
Like
anything that I haven't had before.
s'mores with a Z. I think that I've seen that and I've never tried that. And it kind of offends me. Even though I would probably really like it.
I have had some of the like Oreo cereal. Those were okay, but
Sometimes when I try to say Cheerio, Oreo comes out. Like I'm gonna get some multi-grain Oreos.
that's a flavor I don't think they've worked on. Right. Well, I am ready with my top five sugary cereals.
Okay, let's start with Reese's
And
Pieces.
these are mine.
Sure.
So, people can disagree. That's the whole point of the show, right?
Well, no, the point of the show is these are canonically true, the top five of each category.
We'll go with your version of the show. You're the one with professional podcasting experience.
So, I'm going to start with Reese's Pieces.
Reese's Pieces, however delicious, are not actually a cereal.
No, I thought they were.
Reese's peanut butter puffs.
That's what I'm thinking of. Oh,
Put Reese's pieces in milk and eat them. And probably okay, to be honest. Very chocolatey, M&M's and milk, but
right. Can we pretend I said the peanut butter puff one?
oh, we definitely can. I'm counting that for you. I got what did I get? I got Honey Nut Cheerios, and you said
Yeah.
Cheerios. Two very different cereals.
That's fair.
Right, you're one for one.
Oh yeah, it was on there?
Oh yeah,
Oh,
first one I put.
okay. All
Not
right.
necessarily in that order though. I think that I have a definite top one, and
Sure. Yeah.
I think it's shared across generations, across the country. I think it's canonically the best sugary cereal, if not the best cereal of all time.
Now I'm feeling nervous that I'm not going to think of that one, and everybody will shame me.
I think you will.
Shame me? Shun me. Shun me is what I want. I'm having trouble with words. All right.
Okay, you're only on a podcast.
That whole spoken word medium. Yeah. All right. So I'm one for one. I'm trying to think, what did you eat when we were in college? Let's go with Golden Grahams.
Ooh. However tasty Golden Grahams are, they have not cracked my top five.
I feel like they're another one of those borderline, like they're sugary, but you could sort of convince yourself as an adult, this
Oh,
is basically healthy.
I do it all the time.
All right. Sugary.
So if this helps, I pulled up a list.
All right.
You go to www.mrbreakfast.com/cereal_votes.asp. That'll get you a top 100 breakfast cereal list. And oh man, are there cereals on this list that I have never heard of.
All right.
Like Monopoly,
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
which can tell you right now, pretty sure it's just glorified Lucky Charms, but
All right, I'm gonna go with Frosted Flakes, classic.
that is a classic. It, however, also did not make my top. I really think you're going to get these last two. I guess you've guessed three. I really think you're going to get three, but I think we're going to tie. But maybe not, maybe not.
I'm looking at the list right now. I have never heard of C-3POs.
Oh, yeah, neither have I. Somehow, that's, I think that probably bots had something to do with creating this list. Because it definitely can't be in any sort of order.
No, yeah, this is... All right. How are you feeling about Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Top of the list.
Top of the list?
Very top of the list. I mean, it's the taste you can see.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's true. All right, I got one.
One more guess.
One more guess. Did you know they made a Frosted Rice Krispies cereal? I've never heard of that.
I did not.
This is illuminating and
horrifying.
All right, last one. I'm going with a long silence followed by how about some Captain Crunch?
It's on the list.
There we go.
I mean,
what did I miss?
I put my personal Captain Crunch favorite is the peanut butter crunch, just because I'm a peanut butter junkie. But I put peanut butter crunch slash Captain Crunch because I love crunch berries.
Sure.
Just generic Captain Crunch. Mm-hmm. I think there's another one that's also great. The two remaining are kind of, well, one might be like a niche directed at me is Waffle Crisp.
See, I've never had that before.
I love Waffle Crisp, and man, is that a sugary cereal.
I like waffles, and I like cereal, and I like sugar, so promising.
The second one is also a crisp, and that's just Cookie Crisp.
I've never had that either. I feel like while my parents would get us lots of sugary cereals, they drew the line at something that was actually just cookies.
Yeah, it was just cookies. There's no argument there. Well, we both got 3 out of 5.
Yeah. I don't know who's in the lead, but
speaking off 20,
it has not changed.
Oh, we can always check the Twitter account.
Yeah.
Remember that old chestnut?
Oh.
And let's be real, kids. If you tweet it, it makes it true.
Are you tweeting or have you moved on to something else?
Oh, I'm tweeting.
Okay. I couldn't tell from your face whether you were actively tweeting or if you're just like, oh, I'm going to read the news.
No. I just tweeted from our account. Or should I say, Dozer and Viscount just tweeted. And if, as all of you are listening to this live, you can go to your Twitter.
Refresh right now.
At Dozer Viscount. And the latest tweet from that glorious Twitter handle is Viscount is still winning. Hashtag truth.
Hashtag, I don't know if that's true or not, so I'll go with it.
Everything's made up on this show anyways.
Wait, what?
Except for the lists.
You had me worried there. Also, I feel like I've shared true facts in the past, like about myself and my life. Have you been lying to me this whole time?
Yeah, I actually do live in Boston. You'll be receiving 3 knocks on your door in probably 10 seconds. I moved across the hall.
I saw.
Anything else you want to discuss before we send our glorious, glorious voices off into the nether realms of the internet, never to be listened to again?
Except possibly by one of our parents. But even they've probably given up on us.
I think that if anyone is listening right now, it's a bot in China.
Yeah. Trying to mine some sort of useful information.
Maybe we should provide it with some useful information.
I mean, they already have the top five breakfast cereals in two different categories.
If we are not the first Google hit when you search top five breakfast cereals tomorrow, I will be very disappointed in China as a country.
Right. Not the people there, but just, you know, the bots.
No, just the bots.
Hello.
Hello.
What else do you have planned for today?
Might play some board games.
Oh, yeah?
I'll tell you about a board game that was recently uncovered in the basement of my childhood home.
Sure. I would love to hear about that.
This game... Not even going to talk to the listeners while I leave.
I mean, they know what's going on. Little known fact, the listeners can see you too.
Listener. this game is... Sorry, you were saying little known fact?
The listeners can see you too.
Oh. I didn't realize we were doing video podcasts.
Oh, no, we're not.
Creepy. This game is entitled Regatta, a 3M sports game.
Interesting.
This is the same 3M that is famous for...
Like duct tape.
Duct tape, post-it notes, etc.
I love that it's not in what I would normally picture as a normal board game box, but instead the top lifts up on a hinge.
Oh, not only that, it folds out trifold.
The box is the playing surface.
And is the board.
Whoa.
They just don't have that kind of efficiency in today's board games.
And I see you have some islands in there.
Dude, there are some islands, there are some buoys. You place some buoys and you do a full-on regatta yacht race.
That sounds like it could be a lot of fun, actually.
It's for sailors and landlubbers of all ages. Two to six players. Though if you play with my version, the sixth player doesn't have all of the cards.
Have you played it since you discovered it?
Oh, yeah. Played it multiple times. Introduced it to a bunch of people. I think I had played it when we were little, but... didn't appreciate it. It's exactly like yacht racing. It has wind direction.
Is it
a bunch of complicated rules that I do not know? And you can play a simplified version, which I do know.
Do you feel like that adrenaline rush of like, oh God, we're about to sink. What do I do?
I haven't felt that, but that's because I haven't yet played the game in its natural habitat. On a yacht.
Yeah. Playing the game regatta while actively racing in a regatta. I feel like that's what you got to do.
That's some like meta game gaming. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever played the game The Resistance?
I have. I have
it. We played it for the first time over the holidays. It was thrilling and tore the family apart.
I was going to say, is your family speaking to each other?
I mean, it was Emily's family, so it's fine. It's Emily's
family speaking to each other.
So we played multiple games in a row.
That's the way to do it, because then at least you get a little bit of ally
Right. But so I think we played like five times, and the first three in a row, Emily's brother was a spy each time. And so by the third time, he was just like doing all the things you shouldn't do as a spy, just outing himself. And everybody was like, well, he can't possibly be the spy because look at what he's doing.
Yeah, it is a good game, and I agree. You definitely have to play multiple times in a row, but you do have to. It's also one of those games that you have to understand. It's still just a game, kind of like diplomacy,
I am not brave enough to play diplomacy.
or the Game of Thrones board game, which is very similar to diplomacy, in the sense that at some point, backs will be stabbed.
Right. Have you ever played Hanabi? That's another game that's relatively new to us.
No, I have not.
It's interesting. It's a cooperative game where you're collectively trying to like it's like a card mashing game, but you're trying to have a beautiful fireworks display or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And the what the game mechanic is that you have five cards in your hand or something like that, and you hold them, but you hold them with their backs to you and their values to the rest of the table. And then each turn, people alternate between playing cards and sharing information with you about cards in your hand. But there are tight rules about how they can share that information. And there are, counters so that you can't just go around and make sure everybody knows everything in their hands and then makes the right choice.
Right.
It's fun.
Interesting.
It makes you feel bad about your ability to remember important information for more than 30 seconds.
I have to check it out. What's it called, or how's it spelled?
Hanabi.
Gotcha. There's another game that we've been playing called Sushi Go.
I've heard of that. I've never played it.
Quite good. It's kind of like a drafting, deck building type feel. All Seven Wonders, if you've ever played that. That's another
I
one
have played that, yeah.
that's quite good. And we've been recently into Castles of Mad King Ludwig.
I haven't played that, but I've seen it.
Quite good. Highly recommend it. There's a lot of pieces, so
So don't lose them.
don't lose anything. But it's also kind of like a Carcassonne tile placing, but Seven Wonders drafting slash Sushi Go. You can kind of cut something from someone else. I guess it's like a Mensa society. It won that prize board game.
Interesting.
There's like some level of math.
Interesting.
It doesn't feel like it. They hide it pretty well, but it's quite good. Highly recommend.
Interesting.
I might play that tonight. Is
Nice.
where I was going with all of these board games.
Right. That's nice. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. Should
I
be
wish
good.
I was there.
I wish you were too.
I should visit Chicago sometime.
Should.
Except I won't visit Evanston because that's just too far north.
That's fine.
You should visit Boston. When are you going to be in Boston?
Oh, man. I will ski to Boston.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically all downhill from Colorado to the East Coast.
That's what I'm thinking. I'll just get some like skis that aren't too horrible for cross-country skiing. Get my start, top of Steamboat. Hope that there's no mountains or elevation change upward
Between, yeah.
Steamboat and Boston. And I'm coming for
Basically,
it.
basically hope that Steamboat is the easternmost mountain in Colorado. Because after Colorado, then you've got
I
like
know that,
Kansas
which
and
I know it's not, but yeah,
you're
you're correct. After Colorado, there's zero elevation.
Yep.
Although Boston might actually be higher in elevation than some places in the Midwest.
Yeah, we have some hills. I mean, we're at sea level,
Yes, we are at sea level. Never mind.
but we've got some bumps here and there.
Yeah, got some bumps. This has been Geography with the
And skiing with Viscount.
Yes, because never trust me with geography, as we have just learned. Boston's not sea level.
I mean, there's the big cliff before you reach the ocean, but
Right.
and Charles River empties out into the Atlantic with a big waterfall.
It's majestic this time of year. The ocean frozen yet?
I don't think so. I haven't actually seen the ocean since October, so. I mean, like.
Neither have I.
That's fair. Like, living in Boston doesn't really feel. I mean, we're pretty far inland, the part of the city that we're in. And then also, unless I'm going to go to, like, the historic parts, like the North End and all that, I never really get that close to the harbor. So. Yeah. Feels not very coastal.
That's fair.
This has been Wasted Opportunities with Dozer.
You live right next to the ocean, essentially. Although, I probably live closer to a very large body of water that
That's
is
probably true.
also considered the ocean by Coast Guard.
I live. Probably closer than you live to Lake Michigan. I probably live closer to Jamaica Pond, which is a decently large pond in a public park.
Jamaica Pond.
It's called Jamaica Pond.
Oh, what's the other park in Boston? Make Way for Ducklings, the children's book, was set there.
I never read that book. But. Boston Common, Boston Public Garden, something near Fenway.
Keep
You're gonna
talking.
go get he's all right, yes, I think he's gonna go get the book. So it's just me. He's got a crock pot. There's some bags, looks like a grocery bag. Some stuff hanging on the wall way in the back. Oh, look, a smoke alarm. That's good to see. Fire safety is important.
Yeah, fire safety is very important. Just don't look too close because you'll definitely not see that the battery is ejected.
Fire safety is important, Viscount.
Oh, I know. Fire safety is quite important. Have you heard of Louisburg Square?
Maybe.
It's not the park I'm looking for. There's no water for ducklings.
I see ducks in Jamaica Pond. It's a very popular spot for ducks.
It just says public garden.
Oh, yeah, the Boston Public Garden. That's right downtown. It's really nice.
Does it have the availability for people to like paddle boat?
I don't think the water is really deep enough for that. Maybe it is.
Right. Well, turns out this has been fruitful. Oh, it's on Beacon Street.
Yeah.
Right. Public garden on Beacon Street. Has
You
been
visit. I'll take you there. We can look at the ducklings together.
me or the listeners?
I mean, if the listeners visit, I will also take them there.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me, listener.
Sorry. I
Got it.
mean, In this case, both you and our listener are listening, so I can refer to both of you as listeners.
This has been Math with Dozer. I love all of our segments. How do you feel about the segment where we end the podcast?
Oh, that's my favorite one.
It's probably most people's favorite.
I mean, to be fair, most people are always living that segment.
Yeah, we've actually been recording for close to an hour.
Nice. It's like, just like the old days, just except like old days. With less preparation and no music.
Which obviously make for a higher podcast content quality.
Remember when we had like a baseball themed episode?
That was a good one.
Yeah. And I managed to sort of fake my way through it despite not actually knowing anything about baseball.
Hey, this week's theme was cereal.
That's true. That's the thing that happened. Let's reflect.
I don't know why neither of us were approached with high-paying DJ radio jobs.
Well, I was approached. I just turned them down.
That's fair. You were always the one to succeed in this life.
Oh, that makes us sound so sad. Are you okay? Do you want to talk about anything?
No.
No, you're not okay, or no, you don't want to talk.
Yeah.
I'm here for you. Oh!
This has been Existential Crises with Dozer and Viscount. Speaking of existential crises, let's talk about your shirt.
Let's talk about my shirt.
There's a picture of a whale.
There is a picture. Well, an orca.
Well, sure. Is that not a whale?
I always was told that they're more dolphin than whale.
Well, then here's my problem with your shirt. Is that the line of text directly underneath the orca / whale says a wizard has turned you into a whale.
That is the correct reading of the shirt.
However, I am now becoming aware that there's more text on the shirt. Oh, it says, is this awesome? Parenthesis, Y/N, close parenthesis,
question mark.
Very existential question.
How would you answer that question?
No. I would answer with N.
Fair enough.
N, enter.
It doesn't ask for you to explain your reasoning, so I'll accept that answer as it is.
Yeah, how would you answer it?
I would be unsure, and I'd probably just leave it on this question for a while. This has been Indecision with Dozer. My favorite segment, because it's the segment I lead my life through all day long.
Should I get Raisin Bran? Should I get life?
I don't know.
And then you think about the second one too hard. It's like, should I get life? Oh, should I get life? Should I get a life? Should I get two lives? What's the plural of life? What's the plural of life cereal?
Boxes of life.
Good answer.
All right. I'm going to hit the button to stop recording. This has been lovely.
Probably should have happened an hour ago.
This has been lovely. I miss doing this. I miss your face. I'm going to push the button. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.